All right, let's start the meeting by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the November 3rd, 2015 Alloway Village Board meeting. I'll call the meeting to order. The first item is roll call. Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Rafter.
Here.
President Gast is here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Dennis.
Here.
All present and accounted for. Is there a motion to either modify or adopt the agenda as presented? Trustee Dennis.
Motion to adopt as presented.
Excellent. Is there a second? Trustee Atwood. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Agenda adopted. Item number three, presentation of the Water Authority 2016 budget and project.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. So, if anybody doesn't know, I'm Dave Baklovic, and manager for Central Front County Water Authority, and here to talk a little bit about 2016. I want to start a little bit with a discussion of our project. I don't know how many of you have been out to our Ledger site with the new tanks that are being built. We're building 11.5 million gallons of water storage, two different tanks. Construction process has been pretty interesting and just now wrapping up. This was from the last time I pulled a slideshow together. Generally, the storage is going to do a number of things for us, predominantly energy cost savings and some emergency supply. Right now, the authority operates directly off the pumps, so as people want more water, we have to pump more. With the storage, we'll be able to modulate our pumping and not have to suffer some of the peak hour rates that we pay now. Postpone some capital expenditures. We were looking at about a $5 million pumping station in Cooperstown in the future. That's probably now 30 years or more out before we need to do that. So, while it was an expensive project, we got a low interest loan from the state, 1.925%, and went forward with it. So, that project has been going pretty well. Should be fully operational. Everybody needs one picture. So, they're spray painting the tank. This is the shorter of the two tanks. You can see from the equipment, that's not too small. It's an 8 million gallon tank. The other tank I don't have a picture of, but is 100 feet tall. It's the tallest precast concrete standpipe in the country. So it was quite a project. So we'll start putting water in it probably end of next week to chlorinate it and get it up. It'll take about a week to fill it full of water, fill both tanks full of water. We're regulating how much we can put in, and our builder said it's no more than about a foot an hour in terms of water. So we have a long way to go on some days, a couple feet an hour. Project should be all wrapped up by January, except for some planting and grass and that kind of thing that they'll come back in the spring and take care of. But major portions of the project should be done right around the end of the year. Don't hear this too much, particularly on authority projects, but we're going to come in about $500,000 under budget. So that worked out well. And because of some other issues, our $12.96 million approved loan, we'll probably only borrow about $10.5 million. We have cash reserves, I'll talk about a little bit later, and buy down the debt, borrow a little bit less, have a little bit less annual operating cost for everybody. So the I guess the one thing that that impacts our rates has always been debt service. Prior to our refinancing in 2014, we were on an escalating debt schedule with the assumption that we'd continue to grow and that we'd be able to manage higher debt as we went on and rates would stay fairly constant. What we discovered, and I'll show you later, is that that really didn't materialize. So in 2014, we went to a relatively flat debt schedule with a couple of years to build up into to our annual rate. So next year, we'll be increasing about $1.4 million, $1.5 million, and the following year, about another million in terms of debt service. from there on, it's flat for the next 17 years, plus or minus $1,000 or so. So once we get there, rate increases should be pretty much a thing of the past, except for minor operating cost increases. Our operating costs are only about 25 to 30% of our total budget, so even an increase there is not going to have much rate impact for us. Talk a little bit about what we anticipated. The green line at the top is a straight line, angling upwards, was what our projections were when we started this project. Right about now, we should be something about 3.4 billion gallons a year, and the red line is where we really are. We peaked in 2007, had a little bit of a peak in 2012 when we had a dry summer. And from then on, water conservation and slowed economy have probably been one of the biggest factors in our rate increases. We just haven't sold the amount of water we anticipated.
Is that projected to continue to decline? Or
no, it's projected to be pretty much level, right around that 2.5 billion mark for a while. We do have several members that are continuing to grow fairly rapidly, but they're fairly small. So over time, we'll get some more sales. Most of the conservation has occurred. Howard is finally finding their leaks after 7 years of drying, and is now starting to make some corrections so they don't have the same water loss they've had before. Once they're done, everybody will have their annual water loss program and pretty much stay level. A good portion of the decline in sales has been the recognition that water is expensive. And water loss is really expensive. So most of our members have done a really good job of staying on top of leaks and not paying for water that nobody's using. One of the weird things about our, not weird, different things about our budget, most people are used to an annual water rate. You pay the rate, and your bill is whatever the rate is based on your usage. Water Authority was set up recognizing that we were going to be heavily debt-driven, at least initially. So we have a water rate, and we use it to calculate monthly charges. We go through this true-up charge process at the end of the year. And the reality is you pay a proportionate share of our budget at year end. So we go through and we adjust so that all of our members end up paying the same water rate per 1,000 gallons as the other. And the authority generates its full budget. It was a covenant for our debt service. So the people would loan us money, and they needed to know we generated enough money to pay debt. So percentage of budget is an issue. It's particularly an issue, and you can't see the lines there. Alloway is the red line, I believe.
The green one, the second from the bottom, I think.
Right, green one. Second, well, no, you're red and blue. I'm having problems. No, green is Ledview. You are the blue line that intersects with the red line. So in terms of percentage of use, we've been pretty constant along the board, although that is changing. And it's important to you to know that over the last several years and through this year, your percentage of flow has gone up, which means your percentage of budget goes up. And it's not going up because you're changing your flow. You've been pretty flat in terms of your annual sales. It's going up because other members have been cutting their water use. So as the total goes down, your percentage goes up, which means your bill goes up accordingly. There are water projections that we use in doing the budget. I'm off the page here a little bit, but projecting about 2,572,000,000 gallons of sales next year, down just a little bit from 2015. And that's the numbers that the members have given us to work with in terms of projections. So using budgeted cost, fixed cost, $8.5 million, is all but $200,000 of that is debt service. The balance is our capital budget. And the capital budget includes $100,000 in pretty much miscellaneous undesignated things that we'll have to fix during the year, and about $100,000 in some repairs and equipment changes at the treatment plant.
Yes. Can you go back a slide or two, please?
Sure.
I hope. If, here's the question, if De Pere's usage is going down as a percentage,
right,
and then you move forward one slide, should we assume that in 2012-2013, De Pere was at 850 to 900,000 gallons?
At one point in time, they were over a billion by themselves. They have had a couple of things happen. They've had some large industries that withdrew from the system. I'm not sure the name of the companies. They've been gone for a little while now. They had a couple of companies that were using a million gallons of water a day by themselves. One went to a river source because they didn't really need treated water.
Okay.
And the other one went out of business. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And they've really had an aggressive water leak program in terms of correction. So given that debt service is an issue, we did our refinancing last year, and frankly, probably could have done a little bit better job with our consultant, but we ended up with cash reserves that were in excess of what's really needed for the authority. It's pretty hard to tell what's going on because we have a lot of reserve accounts for different things, but we ended up with some extra financing. We're going to use those for really two things. One is to reduce our safe drinking water loan. So we'll borrow less money, which will have an annual impact for everybody. And we're going to implement a rate stabilization fund. The board has decided that, at the request of some of the members, that we try to regulate our rate increases for the next couple of years. So we're going to use about $2.5 million in reserves to issue rebates annually to help people offset the rate increases. Why rebates instead of just cutting the rates? That's because our coverage requirements are such that on our debt that we have to have 100% coverage every year. We don't have capital costs to spend debt on, so we end up having to generate money that we don't necessarily need. We can't really use reserves and rates. Compromise was to give you the money back in terms of rebates. So rebate calculation, we've decided that we would hold rates at a 3% maximum for the next 4 or 5 years in terms of the felt impact, which is important in any case. So in this particular case, we're calculating rebates. Our current rate was 418, 3% brings it to 431, and the rebate amount would then be 13 cents because the actual rate is 444. We will bill you for 44 per 1,000 gallons all year long. Sometime in late January, early February, when we do the true-up charges, we'll issue you a rebate check for the year at the same time. So we'll give you the money to pay the extra. It's kind of a convoluted process, but it made our attorney and our bond counsel and our auditor all happy, so that's the way it turned out. Member charges and rebates, total next year, we'll be giving back about $334,000. Rebate for alloy would be just under $56,000. These are preliminary. They'll get adjusted based on your actual use, percentage of use. It could go up or down a little bit. But in terms of round numbers, that's pretty close to what it should be. So your total bill from the authority for next year, $1.85 million of water services.
Dave? How does that compare to this year's, do you know?
It's probably about 4% higher in terms of total bill. Your percentage of flow went up about 0.5%, maybe 3.5% higher.
Excuse me, it's limbo time for the board.
So, From next year through 2020, we'll be issuing rebates. All of this is dependent on water sales. As water sales go up, our rates go down. And so should we find new wet customers or have some dry summers, or it doesn't rain and keep the grass green by itself, these numbers could change. But basically, for the next, next several years, the rate will be a 3% impact. The rate schedule will be as shown in terms of felt impact. We'll actually charge you the rates under the projected rate, again, adjusting for sales. But your maximum unit rate felt after rebate will be the 3% column. So is that complicated enough for water rates? It's a little bit different tack than it's been in the past. So. Any questions?
Yeah. On one of your slides, you said that you have an increase for this year, next year, and then I think in 2017 for the next 17 years or something. Basically, it's flat.
Yeah, well,
but our rates are going up incrementally every year?
Yeah, right now debt service starting in 2017 will be flat through the end of our debt service period. So we'll pay the same $8 million a year for the next 20 years. We have no more major capital projects in the plan, so we're done in terms of capital projects. That's about 70% of our total budget is debt. The rest will be operating costs, and those, if you just figure inflationary costs for operating. So if 30% of the budget goes up by 3%, you know, you're probably looking at 1% increases or something like that. And, you know, again, based on water sales, that could change too. But it should be relatively flat going forward after that. And then obviously in 18 years from now, when we have paid off all the debt, life will be good, hopefully. But,
water will be free.
Well, not free, but certainly less expensive. So
swimming will be a lot more fun.
That's right.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. All right, we'll move to item number 4 on the agenda. Do we have any new receptions? I don't see her. Is she?
No. She's not here.
Well, we extend a warm and heartfelt welcome to our new receptionist, Michelle Malik, or Malik. Update on the announcement concerning the 0.5% stadium tax refund, Brad?
Still have not heard the official date of the signing. That will be taking place most likely at Lambeau Field. An invitation should be coming out shortly. Bit of information, we're still going through committees to generate some ideas, and I would like to see on the next building board agenda an actual item that we can invite the public to come in and issue some suggestions. So we can start that process, and hopefully by the first of the year, we're ready to go.
Will we have the committee recommendations by the next meeting?
We should be, yes. Yes. Okay.
Then, let's put it on the agenda then for, you know, staff and committee recommendations to the board, and then set a special portion of the agenda for the public listening session on the rebate usage.
Yeah, we'll put that on the website and Facebook, and just email blast and try to get the word out the best we can.
Excellent. Good. That's good news. Craig, you want to do the R2E2?
Yeah. Actually, two items. The R2E2 open house, Green Bay Metro is doing two open houses on the project. One will be at their offices. That's on the 11th. On the 10th, they've asked us to use the Village Hall boardroom, and we'll be doing that. And so that will be an open house here from 5 to 7 o'clock. It'll have a presentation, some boards to look at, the video, and the question and answer session for people to learn a little bit more about the project. And it's all the metro communities, all the customers are invited, so we probably will have a fairly good crowd here for that evening. And the second item is just a reminder that tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the DOT offices is the public officials meeting for the Riverside Drive project. It's over in Vanderparent Way at 5 o'clock. And that is when they're going to talk about the narrow road alternative, the revised schedule, the repair work on Riverside Drive, and all of those various things. So that will be all of the information, the new information on the project, and then they'll have the public information meeting on November 18th, which will be over at Oliver Leopold.
What time is on the 18th, Kurt?
That is at from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And they are looking for, and I think we should try to encourage people to attend, they are looking for a lot of public input because they're going to be using that public input as part of their decision-making process on the final details of the project. So that's a very important meeting.
We're still looking at 2021-2022. Any other staff announcements? Any announcements? No?
You heard you might have an announcement.
At this time, I have accepted a position as investigative sergeant with the sheriff's office, which I anticipate taking effect at the beginning of January. So it's one of those things I don't take lightly, and I weigh my options, and I don't see any reason not to take it at this point. I know it's something I want to do eventually, but I don't know what will happen again, so the opportunity is there, so I'll go for it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
We can take a vote and tell you no.
Yeah.
No, congratulations. You've done a wonderful job, and all we can hope for is that your replacement comes close. Thanks. So you've been invaluable to the village. All right, any other staff announcements? Any board announcements? Hearing none, then we'll move to item number 5, public appearances. Anyone can address the board on any subject that you so choose. The board can only take action on those items designated as action items on the agenda. Mr. Matuzak.
How did you know?
Well, why else am I here?
You get an official welcome and greeting.
Thank you.
Clarence Matuzak, 2680 South Webster Avenue. I have a few items this evening. Not complaints here. One is that item 4. I hope that you'll give as much publicity as you possibly can to getting input because I see already that the people are coming out of the woodwork because every time there's Rolex money, someone wants to spend it on something. Some of them mentioned in the paper, I almost consider frivolous. We don't need any money on a water tower, and it's being very expensive. We don't want to ride.
Well, the plan was to give you a paintbrush and a ladder.
No, I don't go on ladders, and we don't get along anymore. The next is item 11. Is that going to be on a fee basis or commission basis? Having this Mr. Wheeler work for us?
Oh, the listing contract?
Yeah.
It's on a percentage basis.
Right.
It's on a percentage basis.
Good. Okay. Well, 39 years to get going on that. That can't be in this board. They should have sold it way back when. And you know my story on that one. And the other one is just a little snicker. Do we currently have a prohibition against bees in the village?
Yes.
Okay. This one comes up every few years, just like pigeons. That's why I laugh when I see them, because nothing ever gets done. It never changes.
Are you for bees or against bees, Clarence?
I don't care. As long as they don't sting me. The last item is of personal nature. After a review of history, when the fire department was all over Green Bay Metro, I was in favor of it at that time. It seemed like the right time to do it, and so far it seems like it has worked. I've talked to firefighters from Green Bay, past firefighters from Green Bay, our current past firefighters, they're all happy, which is good. I think it was win-win for both of us, without question. But a little personal thing involved,
In the first year, I got one or two comments about response time. Again, they come to me, I don't know what happened, I'm not here, but anyhow, it took so long, 8 minutes or 11 minutes or something, so I didn't literally go to check on it, but I had an opportunity to ask about it and what happened in that instance, which recalls at once, well, same thing would have happened if we had our own department, so that was not a criticism. But 2 weeks ago last night, I had to call the rescue squad for my wife, who had heart failure, and I thought they got there very fast, so first of all, I stopped at the department and complimented them, and I had to check the time, we just out of curiosity. Well, it's 56 seconds. I don't think it can improve on that. That's from the time we got the call from 911 rather, to the time we got the help to respond to the fantastic. So we can't complain about that. Check them out. Is that enough for today? Is that enough for today?
How's your wife feeling now?
She's getting along, but then she's got a bacterial infection, so now they're going to fight that. So she's going to get there, I guess, but it's a little depression for her. But you made it a few years ago.
Yeah.
Well, give her our best and our prayers.
I will. And getting back to that, I conduct that input for the sales tax. Hearing, informing him, is that the way you intend to do it?
Yes, we'll promote it and advertise it, and it'll be part of the regular agenda. I mean, just like we do a hearing on the ordinance change, we'll open it up to the public for discussion and comments and suggestions.
And one final comment: it's unfortunate it came in too late. It was a great idea in the paper this morning. Not if you saw it. The guy says, "Why don't we just cut that?" You know, the 4.5% till that $17 million is gone or whatever. That would be good. Then it goes back to the people exactly who paid it in the first place. Thank you.
Thank you, Clara. Does anyone else in the audience wish to address the board during the public appearance section of the agenda? All right. Hearing none, we will close that section and move to item number 6, old business discussion action regarding new eye funding for 2016. I would make a motion that we pursue that opportunity on a one-year basis. I think I'll make the motion to approve it. And in terms of the funding, I think I'd recommend that we utilize the tax refund portion of it because that would be an economic development, you know, factor or cost item. Is there a second? Trustee Harris. Discussion? I just think it's a good opportunity. I think we get, you know, we get our board meetings televised, which I think would be a benefit to the public. I like the promotional aspect. We can advertise things such as the farmers market. We can, you know, promote the village in a wide variety of ways. We have great history in Alloway. I think we could do little vignettes and little programming on Alloway history. I think there's a lot of opportunities for us, and I think it's a cost-effective option considering the county's participation and some of our neighboring municipalities. So I think it's definitely a worthwhile venture. Trustee Harris.
I don't know if, since the tax rebate proposal has not been signed, I don't know if we can phrase it in the way that you're suggesting, maybe getting ahead of ourselves. That's part one.
I think, and you're correct. Maybe I should restructure the motion in the second that we move to proceed with the concept funding to be determined later. By the time we get to the budget hearing, we'll know, you know, definitely whether that's a viable funding source. So the motion, which I'll make a friendly amendment to my own motion, which is just that we agree to pursue the opportunity, so that we can let the county know, so that they can start, you know, moving things into place. Right, would you accept that as part of your second?
Definitely.
All right. Any discussion on the modified or friendly amended motion? Any further discussion? Trustee Harris.
I do have a concern about the interaction we'd have with UWGB of producing segments and the time that it's going to take village staff to come up with ideas. What are we going to promote? Is it something that's going to take away from other responsibilities? I know it will be helping to promote the village, but do we have the staff time available for that? Are we going to spend the first 5 or 6 just learning and not get much out of it. That's some of my concern. I don't know how they're going to help guide us through these.
Brad, do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, it's all in the infancy stages right now. But
and yeah, at this point, I really don't. I think working closely with Brian from Troy's office would be probably the ideal step, and then figuring out or communicating with the Village of Howard and Ashwaubenon to also see how they're taking the approach as well. I think we need to maybe work in sync with everybody.
Brian's here. Should we ask him?
No, there's Brian sitting back there. Well, let's. Well, Brian, if you want, maybe if you want to come up and maybe the board might have some questions, and that definitely would be a good question that you can maybe weigh in on.
Sure. To address your question specifically, what we're going to do and what we're doing right now is we formed an internal county team. Justin Steinbrick, formerly of Channel 5, has now joined the county as our emergency management coordinator. So him, along with our CONRAD officer, who's formerly the executive director of Definitely DePere, as well as myself, we're getting together and we're formulating different ideas for the municipalities. So come the first of the year, we'll be sending out different opportunities that we think would be great avenues for you as a community to look at pursuing idea-wise.
Thank you.
Well, Brian's standing there. Anybody else got any questions for him before we resume the discussion at the board? Trustee Rapp.
No more discussion, not necessarily a question.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay. I'm all in favor of cost-effective promotion for Alloy, and I think this is definitely an opportunity. After our first meeting, I wasn't for it because it seemed to be strictly a cable TV operation. After Troy's presentation, it seems as though it's much more. And what we heard about, I'm in favor of. But I would like to see a more formal proposal to tell us what's going to be involved for our investment, what we're actually going to get. So I would be in favor of a preliminary approval, but we still have to sign a contract, right?
You're going to sign the memorandum of understanding with the other communities at a time, so that because what we have, the current formula says that based upon your $16,000 contribution, you will get 10 professionally made PSAs and then unlimited PSAs that will be produced by me and my staff.
Yep. And we'll also. There's other parts of this whole thing, right?
There is. There's the streaming, the over-the-air, the web portals, and the online presences.
So are you going to provide us with a contract or a proposal that states all of this?
We will. Part of the reason that we haven't done so yet is because we wanted, of course, to make sure that the communities were behind it, and then we wanted to pull together that committee of oversight from the communities, because we really want this to be a program for the communities by the community.
Yep.
So while we will create a draft of some generally accepted principles and plans of what other communities have done, this is really something we want the communities themselves to be ingrained with, so that the policies and procedures and the plans to move forward are built from within.
Going forward, I agree with that. I think from a starting point, if the county's making a commitment for our $16,000, we should know what that is, I think, in writing, and to agree to that in writing.
Okay.
So I would agree to it in principle, just not a final approval on my part.
All right. Any other discussion? Trustee Dennis.
And reiterate that it should be for ourselves a one-year contract to begin with, for the purpose of review at the end of that one-year period. And also that there be understanding in regards to if there is a change in the base level of income to us from our franchise fee in regard to the cable systems, and if that number drops, that our fee proportionately should drop with that of the cable reimbursement franchise fee yearly. Because If we get $16,240 a year put toward this other $162,400 fee that we get, and it goes down, which it theoretically can, cable subscribers start failing, we will continue to be committed at that 16,000 level plus 10% a year each year in the succeeding years, where we could eventually end up paying in our third year approximately just shy of $20,000 when not generating an equivalent dollar amount.
Well, my understanding of the volume is just the 10%.
Correct.
Whatever that number is, it's 10%.
Correct.
And then the board will, once they convene and get constituted, will make future rules and policies, and we have the opportunity to review those on an annual basis to see if we want to continue.
Correct.
And a lot of this is kind of a leap of faith in a way, because it's all in the infancy stages, and so much meat has to be put on the bone yet, but we'll never get there if we don't jump into the water. Trustee Abel.
I did have one question regarding the professionally produced videos, the 10 and then the unlimited use that PSAs by your staff, but I think initially you said that was green screen PSAs?
Correct.
Okay, that's still correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And we'll also come out here. The difference is that the professional videos are highly trained videographers that have equipment that's going to be a lot higher than the equipment that the county has on staff. We're going to have a typical about $2,500 Panasonic with wireless microphones, as well as editing equipment to make sure that we are producing a video that meets your expectations. But it's not going to be like that Greenwich video that I showed during our last meeting.
Got it.
Oh, it's not.
So I have a general idea of what you're talking about. Ownership of those videos?
Belong to you.
Belong to us?
Yes.
No questions?
No question.
That'll be in the contract?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Trustee Rapp.
So it's not going to be like the video that you showed us?
The 10 professionally produced videos you have will be like that.
Okay.
Any other board questions?
The length of those 10 videos be?
That is up to you, really, you know, what you want to showcase. We really haven't set a time to it yet. The vendor that we're working with is going by a day-long process, not by the hour. So if it takes multiple shots during the day, if we can get it down to one day, then it's a flat fee.
And who is that you said you were working with again?
Our primary vendor is ETP New, which is Educational Television Productions, housed at UWGB.
Any other board questions? All right, hearing none. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Any further board discussion?
So would it be appropriate for a motion for preliminary approval based on acceptance of a contract, or do we not need to say that? That would be my preference. Because I don't know that we can, if we're going to have to sign a contract, can we approve it without signing a contract? I would like to see exactly what we're going to get.
I believe the motion was to move forward with it. It wasn't to actually approve it until a contract is presented. Would that be, is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that is the sum and the substance of the motion, which is to move forward with pursuing the opportunity. At some point, we'll be presented with a contract, and then the board can vote it up or down, yay or nay. But right now, it's just to proceed with the process and continue in the process and grant preliminary approval to proceed. And we'll have to take the funding up later in any event. And hopefully by then, we'll at least have some substance, something in writing concerning what the generalized terms will be. And then my envisionment is ultimately this board will be constituted from representatives from each participating community, and they'll come up with the actual policies and probably the more formal contract. But at least by the time we get around to the budgeting issue, I'd like to at least see something, Brian, in terms of, we've been talking about it, but just maybe something in bullet point fashion, a memorandum that outlines the general terms that everybody's jumping on board with. So if we can get that, so yeah, it's great for preliminary approval and to continue with the process. That's the motion and the second on the table. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously granted. So we will proceed with the opportunity. Item number 7, action regarding approval of the auditing services contract with Schenck. Clara did present us with the proposal. It's taking me a while to get used to double-sided. I keep looking for the rest of it, and then it's on the back side, which is a good conserved tree. So, in fact, she mentioned that a 1.5% decrease. So the first year of the new deal is a decrease from the prior year. And then as we see for 16 and 17, it bumps up, $300 each year. Is there a motion concerning approving the Schenck proposal and service contract? Trustee Raffer.
I would make a motion to approve the contract.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart. Any discussion? Trustee Harris.
Do we know how long we've been working with Schenck?
It's been quite a while.
I think as long as I've been here. Okay. But I shouldn't say that because they weren't. I'm not exactly certain when it became Schenck.
Oh, so we've been dealing with them since they were Schinners, Bukowski, and
I believe so.
So I think there's some cost efficiencies that come in with a long-term relationship. They don't have to get into our business and try to understand our business. They already do. And they've always done a very good job. Any other discussions concerning the adoption and approval of the contract? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The services contract is approved and authorized. Next item on the agenda is item 8. Resolution 2015-34, disallowing the claim from Tom Van Brunsven, dated August 17, 2015, for damage to vehicle. Is there a motion to approve the resolution? I will so move to approve the resolution denying the claim or disallowing the claim. Is there a second? Trustee Green. I think there was, actually, I did like to see, at least sometimes we just get, well, historically, a long time ago, we would just get deny the claim, but now we're starting to see more information come along with it in terms of the basis of the denial. You know, in terms of this damage, we were there and getting ready to fix it, and the guy was waving at him, telling him to slow down, and he went by at a high rate of speed and caused some damage. And so I think that, you know, this is properly deniable. We're there to fix the problem and trying to fix the problem, and the guy was waving at him saying, you know, slow down, you know, we're trying to fix the problem, and didn't want to listen. Now that, and we still fall in with that municipal immunity, you know, and then this time we're actually out there to fix the problem. So any other discussion concerning the disallowance of this claim? All those in favor of adopting resolution 2015-34 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The resolution is adopted. Next item on the agenda is resolution 2015-35, disallowing the claim from Natalia Prosik, dated August 21st, 2015, for damage to personal accessories and medical expenses. Is there a motion concerning the adoption of this resolution? Trustee Raffer?
I'll make a motion to deny the claim.
Is there a second? Trustee Dart. I think there was an explanation in the insurance, you know, company transmittal. Weather-related event, you know, we were following proper procedures in the cleanup of debris and did so in a timely fashion. We can't prevent all situations that could conceivably cause injury. We can only do the best that we can, considering the time constraints that we have. Any other discussion concerning this resolution? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Unanimously adopted. Item number 10, memorandum of understanding between the Village of Alloway and Monica Hawk for animal control services. I think as a general matter, we've been pretty happy with the services she's provided. Does this represent an increase in the hourly rate?
I don't believe so. It's, you know, the changes in here were the adding the CART program and removing Eric.
was in the previous contract.
Correct. Is there a motion concerning the adoption of this memorandum of understanding? Trustee Dart?
I move to approve this contract.
Is there a second? Trustee Green. Any discussion concerning the memorandum of understanding? Trustee Harris.
With a memorandum of understanding, do we need to establish an expiration date and or a renewal date? Any kind of process for that? I see an effective date, but...
It's sort of something that we could do on an annual basis, sure.
Well, but my understanding, too, is that, you know, I think it was, for the insurance reason or the liability reasons that we opted to make this an employment relationship rather than an independent contractor relationship. So as an employee relationship, she'd be an at-will employee. So, I mean, if we get unsatisfactory service, I mean, she could be terminated consistent with our personnel manual.
Thank you.
So that would be the understanding in terms of the adoption. This is not for a set period of time. It's, you know, she's an at-will employee, so you know, if the services aren't what we need them to be, or she doesn't follow the reasonable direction of the bill, we can terminate it without notice and without cause. Trustee Raffer.
So she's considered a part-time employee. How many does she average a certain number of hours for us per?
No, there's no set number of hours that she puts in. When she established that CART program that she explained earlier in the year, that is to kind of take her out of having to come in.
Yep.
So it really varies based on, you know, the calls that she gets.
Okay. Well, yep. If I remember correctly, too, I mean, she doesn't participate in the retirement program, or does she?
Maybe because she's also with Howard and one or two other communities as well. So total, because she's a municipal employee, she probably falls under that.
Do we pay our other part-time employees time and a half for overtime?
If they were to work over 40 hours.
Yeah, you would have to.
Right.
But
for
then
her.
Then they wouldn't be part-time. They'd be more than full-time.
Right.
Given
her rate is time and a half after 8 p.m. on weekdays.
Oh,
so I'm just
I
asking,
see.
Is that in line with our other policies? And if not, do we have to do something about that?
The only other caveat that we have is our watchmen or watch people that work the rentals at Green Isle after 9 p.m. From 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., it's a different way. It was in an effort to get individuals to work those hours.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments or discussion? The motion is made and seconded to approve the memorandum of understanding. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It is so adopted. Item number 11. Action regarding request for proposals for 1649 South Webster, and we've all been provided with the request for proposal document that's been prepared by staff in conjunction with James Wheeler, the broker that we have under listing contract. Is there a motion concerning the adoption of the request for proposal and authorization for its issuance? Trustee Harris.
Move to approve as presented.
Is there a second? Trustee Green? Any discussion concerning the request for proposal? I thought it was pretty easy to read underscored the major components. I did like to see the caveat that even though we're sending out requesting proposals, the village is not obligated to accept or to negotiate modifications, but we're just looking for people to generate interest and get proposals for our consideration, but we're not locked in any way, shape, or form. Any further discussion concerning the request for proposal? Trustee Raffer.
I also like the fact that it details the village's interest in doing everything it can to help developers be successful. So I think it was a very nice job.
Well, just, you know, one other way that, you know, village staff and and our broker are trying to be proactive
yep.
getting the word out there and generating some interest and not just waiting for people to come. So, I like that approach.
And it gives us a set deadline. There could be something that could come forward prior to that. You know, I think if anything comes prior to that, once you approve it and we send it out, then we're locked into this time period, which is fine. But at least it gives you a target date when we could expect to see something, or hopefully see something.
Trustee Rafter.
So if we got something, if we got a proposal that we really liked before the deadline of February, I think it was, we couldn't accept it?
That would be my understanding, because you're on a formal request for proposals. So you're taking a different approach to how you're going to get the property sold. That's one of the reasons why we try to do a deadline of February, so that if something does come through,
take a
while,
we're
not taking so much time, and then you're able to use the construction season.
Okay.
Well, and I just wonder if to accommodate that concern that, you know, we couldn't build in some kind of a caveat into this that, you know, that we can give due consideration to anything that comes in at any time. Well, and also, as I look at it in the context of what Trustee Rafter was just talking about, I'd like to see the March 5th date. You know, the chronology change, and I guess it would be a friendly amendment. I guess it would be an amended motion that we proceed with the request for proposal and its issuance. Change the March 5th topic from selection to consideration of top three proposals, because we may not select any particular proposal. And then at the end, build in a caveat that the board reserves the right to consider and or accept any proposals that come in before the submission deadline. Does that make sense, Brad? You're kind of rubbing your goatee.
I guess I got a little concerned with that, because what would prohibit someone else, from anyone that's wanting to follow the proposal aspect of saying, take mine? You're not giving them their due process to be able to present a proposal based on what we're asking for. It's too loose, I think. I think if we do it this way, we stick to the proposal deadlines, and anything that comes in has to follow this proposal aspect. It just takes away that little gray area that I'm a little concerned about.
And to Brad's point earlier, it probably doesn't make all that much difference, because no one's going to break ground before then anyway.
I think your point's well taken.
Yeah.
You know, what's the point of somebody following up process or a proposal process if we say, well, we can always turn it on its head if we want to. But do change. So the amended motion is to approve it for issuance, change selection to consideration of top three proposals. And that's it. Is there a second to the substitute motion? Trustee Green. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Request for proposal is authorized. Consent agenda. Unless anybody has any objection, I would welcome a motion to adopt 12A through C of the agenda. Is there such a motion?
D.
Oh, excuse me, D. I didn't turn the page over. 12A through D. Is there a motion to accept and approve those? Trustee Rafter.
I'll make a motion to accept and approve the consent agenda as proposed.
All right. Is there a second? Trustee Dennis, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Consent agenda adopted. All right. Number 13, update regarding the permitting of beekeeping in the village of Alloway. It's a discussion item, so we can't take action on it this evening. But Brad, I think, was, or somebody, kind enough to give us a lot of information on Milwaukee's program. Any further updates or anything from you on this, sir?
About 2 weeks ago, Rob Morris and I got together and looked at some of the sites that I've been through out at the board meeting, utilizing some of our pond sites. And so he and I went around, looked at them all, very encouraged. So we're just going to be working through this over the next couple months and look at making a change within our ordinance. One of the things that we've been talking a little bit about is if we designate some areas, you know, how many per site, probably scale it down the first year until we get a feel for how well it works. And then having some sort of a lease aspect to it, got to look into that a little bit too. That way an individual taking some ownership into the care of their hives and stuff. So it's moving forward. It's going to be a little bit slow, but the idea of utilizing some of those sites because of the water, the native plants that we have there, everything seems to work in this favor. So keep it coming forward.
Well, I think that's a wonderful, you know, pilot program. What's the board's sense of modifying the ordinance to permit private beekeeping in people's yards or their homes consistent, you know, with certain ordinance requirements like Milwaukee?
I think we have some yards that that's appropriate, but I think we have some lots that are way too small. So I love the pond idea because they've got plenty of plants, they've got open water, we've got lots of land and a buffer zone around them. So we've gotten into issues allowing things on certain size lots and not on others. So it, there's just some interesting aspects to that. Whereas having them in a community site at the park, I think we can do a lot more education on bees and the good that they do the neighborhoods as well. So and I kind of see our stepwise approach that we've had with a lot of ordinances about starting in the parks and then maybe considering lot sizes and moving them to other areas too. But and I really like your park idea. I find that very intriguing. I also find a very appropriate place for them with tons of space also.
Is the board comfortable with that kind of a stepped approach that we'll explore it and introduce it to the community and kind of a public, you know, forum or a public area kind of concept, and assuming that's a good success and it generates some interest that we would maybe later at a later point take a look at amending the ordinance to permit it at certain residence configurations. I'll grant you there has to be, you know, certain requirements in terms of lot size and other things, you know, locate or distance from the lot line, and, you know, so we could tackle that at a later point, you know, but to sense the board for Brad to continue to pursue, you know, the park concept for the time being. Trustee Rafferty.
Yeah, I think so. I have a question. It's probably one of those stupid questions. But by doing it in the parks where people are playing and recreating and that sort of thing, is that a liability issue for us if we're promoting beekeeping and if something happens to one of the folks using?
That's one of the beauties of using the pond sites because you are staying further away from all the parks. When we looked at Kiwanis Park, we eliminated that because of the number of soccer fields and the proximity to the trail. The one near Hoffman Road, yeah, it's relatively close to the trail, but we have a lot of land that is in wetland, like, you know,
okay,
buildable, that we could push it back quite a ways off the trail itself.
Okay.
So, you know, that was one of the considerations that we looked at as well as, you know, looking at Optimus Park. Great opportunity, a lot of kids, and not probably work best there.
Yeah, I was just wondering if our insurance company would have something to say about
it. You know, it's one of those that probably falls under the recreation immunity law, but okay. Those are some questions that still need to be followed up on.
Okay.
Yeah, as we progress, we might want to bounce that off
question.
Attorney Duffy, because I think it probably would fall under the recreational use immunity as well, but we might want to look a little further into that. Any other discussion or comments about the route that we're taking with this issue? All right, Brett, I think you have some direction. Then the next item is 14, closed session. Is there a motion to convene into closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 19.851E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session? Two issues for consideration is the listing contract for 1649 South Webster and discussion of a TIF development proposal. Is there a motion to convene into closed session? Trustee Atwood. Second, Trustee Dennis. Roll call, Trustee Dennis.
Aye.
Trustee Green.
Aye.
Trustee Dart.
Aye.
President Gass. Aye. Trustee Radford.
Aye.
Trustee Atwood.
Aye.
Trustee Harris.
Aye.
We stand in closed session.